Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Or for the other teams. So I think that's something that I struggle with. And I guess that would be my question for you. If the Grizzlies don't shoot well, are they still capable of like, was last night a sustainable way to win? Or is that taking advantage of a dog-tired team on the second night of a back-to-back?
I mean, that's part of it, you know. It all sort of factors in. I think, to your point about finding different ways to do it, just taking a quick look at some stats here, over the last 2 weeks, right, so just, you know, the most recent sample of, you know, 5-10 games here, the Grizzlies have been the second-best defense in the league over the last couple of weeks. And so that's not something I think anybody would have projected, certainly before the season, or even when things were starting to go well, the Grizzlies were doing it because the offense was really hitting on all cylinders and not because they were stopping people. So over short periods of time and in small samples, one game or five games or 10 games, teams can look drastically different. And I think what you're looking for is to put together a collection of talent that, when it looks drastically different, can still look drastically different in a good way. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's worth wondering what the shooting overall looks like, especially, you know, you move somebody like Crowder, who was such a huge part of the rotation, but was also shooting 29% from three. Whether the replacements in those roles are going to wind up outperforming that, or if, you know, say, you know, the, you know, I don't know that you're going to expect like 45% shooting from Kyle Anderson or anything like that, but if the players who are stepping into those roles or taking some more of those shots wind up knocking them down to a greater degree, it might wind up having an additive effect. It's hard to project, especially with so many young pieces and so many players kind of operating in maybe different and so, you know, maybe a little bit larger roles than they have in times past. But I think what you have to feel encouraged by is there are more, certainly the athleticism, the length, the size, that's translating somewhat on defense now, too, as you get, you know, down into the second half of the season. And where, I mean, it's everything sort of house money right now. Everything's gravy. And if you're getting a legitimate development on that side of the ball as well, you have to feel great about where that sort of leaves Memphis standing and moving forward.
We're talking, of course, with Dan Devine of The Ringer. He's on Twitter at YourManDevine. Joins us each and every Thursday to discuss the NBA. Is Gorgui Dieng going to be the most significant acquisition for the Grizzlies this season?
Acquisition this season? It's possible.
At the deadline, I mean, I should say. I should clarify at the deadline.
No, that's fair. I mean, I think there's a chance for it. I know there was some concern about what bringing in a legitimate backup center behind Valanciunas did for Jaren Jackson, because him playing, when Jaren's at the five, that unlocks a lot of different lineup combinations for Taylor Jenkins. It provides more space on the floor for for John Morant and Tyus Jones and De'Anthony Melton, the guards, to be able to operate in. But one of the things that I think a lot of people maybe weren't paying as much attention to, shockingly, not everybody was dialed into every Timberwolves game this season, is that Gorgui Dieng has sort of made himself into a stretch five. He's made himself into somebody who can be in addition to being a solid positional defender, a good rebounder, he can also stretch the floor. He can also, make a defense guard him out there. So you get still some of that stretch, even if he's at the five. And if you have him at the five alongside Jaren at the four, you get, both of their rim protection, both of their rebounding skills and both of their shooting. It affords a bit more stability while also retaining flexibility. And so I think everybody is bullish on what Justice Winslow could be for this core. I'm certainly on that train as well. But I think in terms of sort of stabilizing and solidifying a rotation for a team that is really trying to make a playoff push here, he could be a really valuable piece. As somebody that, he doesn't need to have a huge diet of shots, he doesn't need to have a giant role, but can come in and sort of put in a shift behind Valanciunas and next to Jaren Jackson. I think you got to be encouraged by what you've seen so far and feeling like that's something that can kind of simmer things down when it needs to happen too.
I think there's also an element of expectations. When you make the big deal for Justice Winslow, obviously, if that's, you know, one of the centerpieces that you are saying that you're trying to build around for, you're trying to add for Ja and Jaren, there's obviously a higher expectation. And also, I think the timing of the Jang deal, when it happened like right before the deadline, when everyone's kind of in the middle of it, you know what I mean? Like, the hoopla kind of got lost in the wash, if you will. And so he comes in with lower expectations. And to your point, it's kind of an easier role to step in. It's, hey, back up big, start on the defensive end. Anything you give us on the offensive end is great. And, you know, to me, I think he might have an easier role to step in just because it's an easier fit. Because now with Justice Winslow, it's, okay, does he take the Kyle Anderson role currently, or does he take Kyle Anderson's role that he had before Jay Crowder was traded? I think there's also an expectation element of that question.
I think you're right, and I think the expectation's an interesting thing with a guy like Jang too, because he was never like a star player and was never sort of going to be, but he was a player who got paid in that, if I'm remembering the timeline right, in that like really heady summer of 2016 when the cap spiked and all of a sudden teams are flush with cash and you're like, well, yeah, a contract for, you know, like what would seem like a middling contract in other years, or what might have been a lower number, now like the cost was going up across the board. So he wound up with a deal that was sort of that wound up looking like wildly overpaying a player to do what he was doing in Minnesota. But now it's like when a guy gets drafted in the lottery and then, you know, busts out. You know, say somebody like Josh Jackson, right?
Yeah.
And you know, all the expectations that he's going to be a franchise cornerstone star for your team. Okay, so now he's not on that team anymore, and you just say, well, okay, you were starting fresh. What can you give us now? Whatever the price tag is, whatever the thing is, like, can you play a role? Can you contribute? And so Gorgui Jang is the highest paid player on the Memphis Grizzlies right now, but he's not expected to do anything. He's not expected to be a star. He's expected to play, you know, at maybe 15, 18 minutes a game, clear the glass, you know, provide a post-up element when you need it, and shoot the ball. And that's really, like, that's what you need him to do. And if he can put in a shift and he can do that, he could wind up being a really valuable player for a team that needs some of that stabilizing force every now and again off the bench.
You mentioned Josh Jackson. He's a hot topic, and for a lot of people here. What have you thought of the kind of extended look that he's been getting recently?
I'll be honest with you, I don't have a whole lot of take on it. I think it's alternately a good spot for him because it's, you know, yeah, you're getting that opportunity with, you know, some injuries and some rotational shuffling, but it's also a tough spot because there's no, like, they don't need to keep doing it if it's not working. Like, you know, the team as it's constructed and as it was before he sort of made his way in was working. So it's exactly what a guy like Josh Jackson needs when you're trying to rehabilitate your image and get your career not even restarted but just started. But it's also, I mean, it makes everything a little bit more like, you know, life and death, because no one's waiting for Josh Jackson at this point. So I think, I mean, what I've seen when I've seen him on the court is a lot of what we sort of knew he was. Like, you know, you look at the athleticism sometimes and you're like, well, that should absolutely translate. And he'll make, you know, he'll shoot a gap or make sort of a quick move on defense. And you're like, oh, yeah, that guy should be able to play, you know, defend three positions and play, you know, 10 years in this league. If you can sort of amplify that and get rid of some of the bad habits with the ball or the spaciness, then you got a player. And I haven't seen necessarily like an overwhelming amount of that, everything pointing in the right direction. But I think, you know, the flashes remain, and if you can sort of get some more consistency with those as this role remains open for him, maybe he works his way into their plans. But I think it's a good look for him. But also, you know, the second it starts looking like it's not really worth it, then I think Memphis doesn't have to hang on to him. He was the way to get D'Anthony Melton, not the other way around.
I think that's a fair way to look at it. And I think the organization, if you kind of read the tea leaves, I think a lot of what they've done has kind of supported that point. All right, last question for you. Dame Lillard pulls his groin last night, late in the, I can't remember if it was the third or the fourth, but late in the second half, pulls his groin. He says immediately after the game that he's not playing in the All-Star game. I think the odds-on favorite is Devin Booker. In your opinion, you're up there in New York. Is there any chance the league goes, Morant's got a little more star factor, it's All-Star weekend, What do you say we do this?
I think the only argument for that would be, and I say this as somebody who loves Ja Morant, and you've heard me say it on the air.
Yes.
I think the argument for it is that he's already going to be there for Rising Stars.
Yep.
But I think any objective measurement or evaluation would have it be Booker. Frankly, I think it should have been from the jump. And we have this conversation every year where it's like, who's a snub? And then you say, well, a guy got snubbed. Well, who would you take off? Okay, I'm very clear on this. Devin Booker should have been there, and Russell Westbrook shouldn't have. When I did my big ballot and I had my votes and whatever, that was what I had in. And I think Booker's been sensational, even for a team that's dragging. And I think that he should have been on the ballot. So my guess is, as long as he doesn't have some kind of non-refundable vacation already planned that he's begging off of it, that it's going to be him. But listen, if Morant's there and things conspire, it would be a lot of fun to see him play up in the varsity game too.
Dan, we appreciate your time, my man.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey. Take care.
That is Dan Devine of The Ringer. Again, he is on Twitter at YourManDevine. Chris Harrington's in studio. Chris tells us everything that matters about last night's win against Portland next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.